In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Then I have Aggie and Akira. As the peak and the hour is coming to be realized, Christ came to save the world. He came to make salvation available for the whole world. Whole world? To live the salvation, and everyone lives salvation. Unless we realize personally the salvation of the Lord, we're not part of the salvation. But Christ came to die. Christ came to die. And this was very obvious and realized in his mission. As he was teaching and telling the disciples always prior to the hour what will happen. More than one time he expressed, the Son of Man must be betrayed, crucified, die, and then rise from the dead. First time said, what is the rise from the dead? We never heard it. They didn't comprehend it. When time came closer, he said the same thing. And they started to feel lost. Third time they felt sad. He meant it. Sometimes we don't understand, but it takes time to understand. Anyhow, Christ was telling the disciples prior about all things, but a human understanding of the work of Christ needs a lot of help. Especially now we're different. We have the Spirit of God that we may understand with a little bit from God, we can understand. Why? Because there is some connection between us and God. We have the Spirit of God. We have put on the Spirit by baptism. So when Christ speaks, we have some understanding. When he speaks more, we get more enlightened. And when we hear more, we get more. But in the old times, people, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. How can they understand the things that pertain to the Spirit? Christ is always speaking on something and the people do not relate to it. He's from another world. He's from the world above, but the people from the earth. Whenever Christ expressed his suffering, crucifixion, and always he was very careful to mention the resurrection, they didn't understand. And we give them an excuse for this. It is beyond our understanding. We haven't heard before this that someone risen from the dead. What's the rise of the dead? We never heard it. The Old Testament, nobody rose from the dead. But Christ, as the firstborn and the master, he started now, as St. Paul is trying to explain later on, after a few years of his resurrection, he said he was the first among many. So whoever die now, we say, is not dead. He moved. He died on the faith of Christ, and the faith, he will rise. He will rise. Christ came, and this fact wasn't known to the world, but it was known to him. It was known to him because he never died. He is God. Divine power doesn't die. How about the human? The human went through it. And the divine helped the human. But when there is suffering, the divine backed up. Backed up. If the divine interfered, if his divinity interfered in his sufferings, so God didn't suffer, he didn't die for us. He died for himself. But God lived the human nature to drink the cup, to taste the death. But now it will be glorified. And this is the case of God, that whoever is suffering has to be glorified. The reason of glorification, the reason of glory, is to suffer. Is to suffer with Him. If we suffer with Him, we will glorify with Him. The whole Pascha week, the church is trying to take a step by step with Christ. Christ was taking very serious step towards the cross. He never relent. He never went back. But it was very obvious in His mission that He's coming to die. Not understandable. But it was revealed to Him that He has to die. So He was taking a very serious step. He came to Jerusalem, entered as a king. He had done something. He stopped with the disciples on Tuesday and told them, the Passover in 2 days, and the Son of Man will be crucified. And He appointed the time of His crucifixion. And we start, and then the church is going with Christ. So we started then saying, my good Savior, and our doxology, because He appointed the time of salvation on the Passover. Passover was a very old feast that God was giving them the symbol. Bring a lamb, eat the lamb, put the sprinkle the blood on the sides and the top, in the shape of the cross, and the angel of death will pass. And if the cross is not on the door, the firstborn will die. You'll have the most bitter punishment. And whoever doesn't eat from the lamb, this soul will cut from, will take off, or will be taken off from the people of God. So Christ has to eat the lamb. What is that? So perfectly, Christ was designing to put things together. People, they always read the Old Testament and they don't understand much. Why? Because it is not clear. But when Christ came and He started pulling from the Old Testament and start teaching the people, oh, it was said, that's right. And now, even more, when St. Paul wrote about it, the church now lives the fact, the truth, that the shadow was in the Old Testament, a lamb, have certain way to be eaten, certain day to bring, has to be kept in the house for 4 days. Christ kept Himself in Jerusalem for 4 days, and then it was slaughtered, and it was the day. And the Lord designed everything perfectly. Two of the disciples, go find a man, he will tell you where to go, prepare the Passover for us. Sat with them, ate the Passover. So on this day, Christ did 3 things. The first thing is to eat the lamb with the disciples. He ate the lamb with the disciples to fulfill the Old Testament. And go back and read in the book of Exodus about the lamb, and try to match it with how to take communion. The requirements of the Passover, exactly the same thing like communion, because it is the same. So He ate the lamb with them, and He did 2 things. One was acceptable, and one was none heard of before. First thing, He, during the Passover, He washed the feet of the disciples, which was very nice. It was some kind of awkward. The master washed the disciples of the disciples. Some kind of awkward, but it was nice. Never heard before. It was supposed to be the opposite. One of the disciples would wash the feet, his feet. But he said, I'm telling you a lesson. Listen to me. If I am the master and I did this, so you ought to do with each other. First thing. And it's far beyond this. It's not only cleaning. Cleaning, yes, it showed outside. But Christ was giving the church idea. And this idea, I will say it in a few minutes. The second thing that never heard of, He brought bread. At this time, there was no bread. They don't eat bread. We don't know where He got bread from. And he broke the bread and gave them to eat. And that unspoken of said, this is my body, take eat, this is my body, take drink, this is my blood. It's an order. It's an order. The church ordered the disciples took this order and lived by it until today. We are living. This is the meeting of the church. Whenever we meet, we break bread. We drink the cup. They were supposed to drink 3 cups at that time. He took the third one, the cup of blessing, and he gave it to them. This is my blood. We don't have much. Christ didn't express this except one time. He said, I am the bread of life. Who is this person? And the Pharisees, they got on fire. Who is this person to say this? We don't understand. How come he say about himself that he's the bread of life? We know him and his dad and his parents. And isn't that the son of the carpenter? We know him, we know his mother, we know his father, we know his family. How he come, he said about himself that he's the bread from above. And they went to another route. And Christ insisted that one day I will give you my body to eat. I will give you my blood to drink. But not in the shape of flesh and blood. Another shape. You'll take it. And it's going to be the new covenant. There was a few covenants in the Old Testament that God made with his righteous people. And now new covenant. The covenant of what? Of bread and wine. Bread and wine. Whoever believes, it's the body and blood of Christ. Whoever doesn't believe, it's his mistake. I can't prove to you. Maybe we can say a few words. But if you'd like to have a proof, ask him. He asked the church for this, and we trust him. We love him. If he said, this is my body and this blood, we loved him for this. It's a sign of love. You know what, when a mother sees her son or her daughter, they say, Albi, she can say, you're part of my heart. Christ told the church this, I'll give you what? Myself. I'll give you my flesh, my blood. Are we drinking, eating flesh of people and drinking blood of others? No. We're eating bread, drinking wine, but it is the body and blood of Christ. He told us that. That's what he did today. And about tonight, I would like to say 3 things. The first thing is, Christ, 3 things he had done on the night as well. He took the disciples after this, and they praised God. And it was known at that time, they say a few praises, I think it's Psalm 113, 114. There was a few psalms of praising. They said it together, told them to Gethsemane. Gethsemane was a very nice place. He liked to go. Gethsemane means the oil presser. There was a lot of olive tree, so they used to press olives there. So they call it Gethsemane, which is the oil presser. And he kept commanding the disciples and the church of a fact. Stay up and watch. For 3 times, he was telling them, stay up and watch. And this is the command that it is given to the church. In the early church, first century, they had an understanding that Christ is coming soon. So they used to address themselves when they see Maranatha, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. They thought he will come in a few years, 5, 10, 20, 30. He's not going to last that long. And I believe all of you were alive, were born after 2000. Huh? You were born before 2000, of course. Okay? And we know the fiasco that was going on, that the millennium, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. It's the secret. The last day is the secret. Christ spoke about it on Tuesday. But the day and the hour, no one knows them. Not even the Son, but the Father. And St. John Chrysostom said about this, it is the knowledge that unspoken of. Huh? When you ask your dad, how much do you have in the bank? Would he tell you? He knows what much he has. How much he has. Would never tell. Huh? That's Christ told them. Even I don't know. You don't know? Of course he knows. But this is the knowledge that he cannot tell. That he cannot give out. The teacher, you tell them, will this question will be in the test? Stay up and watch. We don't know when he's coming. Christ is coming someday. And he was going to reward everyone that he's giving him love, giving him respect, giving him his part in his heart. Not even part of the heart, but the whole heart. We see a lot of people, they are worshiping God, they know God, they can give him a lot. Of course, everything has its own reward. And we see some people, they come to church, they attend the church, and when there is trouble, everyone goes his way. They cannot stay with him. They cannot watch with him. Do you think God will give these like this? I don't think. Everything has its own price and reward. So God is giving us pluses and minuses what we have? No, it is not. God is not going by the actions, but he watches the heart. And he knows, even before we do the action, he knows what's behind the action. And he knows how to reward the love that was given to him. He knows. No one can boast against God. No one. If I say from here until tomorrow, I did, but God will remind me with my mistakes. And he told me, yes, you did this. Did you forget about this? And God will never condemn people. But our actions will condemn us in front of him. Do you think God will stay and say, you didn't fast a day, you break the fast yesterday? Do you think God will go with how many million people to say? Of course he can. But God will never do this. We will remember our mistakes because it's going to be obvious in that day. Stay up and watch. Watch for your prayers. Watch for the work of love that you do. Watch to read the scriptures, to live the scriptures, to work by the scriptures, to gain his compassion and love. Watch for yourself. God is opening heaven for all the people who will follow him and who will make his word. God never said that this is heaven, but you never go. He said, no. Come to me, O trouble and heavenly burden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. I will take you. Come to me. So we have to go back to him. We have to ask him. We have to get answers from him. We have to keep knocking his door until he opens. Because he promised. He promised. He promised and he gave assurance of promises. Knock and it will be open to you. And the church never stopped praying and saying and reminding us the most used prayer in our prayers from the beginning of the church, in the day of Christ, until the Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Lord, judge us according to your mercy and not according to our sins. So the church never stopped watching and prayer. It is the work of the church to watch and pray. The second thing tonight that he had done, Christ went to Gethsemane and prayed, "Father, let it be your will." Let it be your will, not mine. The Father said that Christ at this minute, he had in front of him all the sins and iniquities of the whole world was present. Christ is not performing a joke, or he's just coming to carry the cross. He's coming to save the whole nations, generations. Imagine all this is present in front of him. It's a heavy burden. What I did and you did and he did and everyone did. Christ is watching everything. And he say, "Father, let it be your will, not mine." And previously he gave it to us. And when the disciples came to him and asked him, "Lord, teach us how to pray," he said, "Intercede in this manner of our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It is your will. So Christ taught us. And this is something that we have to know and we have to study and we have to go through the Bible. Christ never said a word, it is impractical. But he applied what he said in his life. And it was shown. And this is what really amazed the scribes and Pharisees. That they used to see him doing what he said. So sometimes we say something and we can't do it. But what he said, he did. He gave the promise of salvation, he will do it. He will carry the cross, yes. He is going. He is carrying the will of the Father. The will of the Father. And he prayed, and even though St. John said that his sweating like blood, it's coming down. And in one of the translations said, that an angel appeared to him and he told him, "Thine the power, the glory." This is the phrase we say this week. We didn't invent it, but it was said by the angels to Christ in Gethsemane. In Gethsemane. "Thine the power." So Christ put himself under the disposal of the Father. The Father is his Father. But the Father told him to die. He sent him to die. He sent him to die. And today the church read about, and we keep reading about the offering of Abraham, that he was offering Isaac. God told him, "Give me your son." And Abraham didn't relent. Give him his son. And by the time, he's putting in the knife and, "Don't touch him. Don't touch him. I saw your love. I saw your obedience. And now there is. Now I know you. Now I know you." We read for another person as well during the Holy Week. We read Job. And Job said something very nice at the end. He said, "I used to hear about you, but now I know you." After he lost everything and gained everything, "I used to hear." Sometimes we hear a lot about God, but when we get into trouble and temptation and examinations, we get back and say, "Thank you. Now I'm stronger. Now I'm stronger." The last thing I'm saying tonight, they came to capture Christ. So Christ praised with the disciples, he praised by himself, he extended his power from the Father, and the third thing, they captured him. You know, in military mechanism, they put the least soldiers in the front and the general or the big guy in the back. So whoever they kill a little soldier. Christ didn't do this. He did the opposite. Came, where's Christ? I am here. They backed up. They couldn't understand. They thought they would hide and run. And he's not. He's coming to this. I am. I am. And St. John said a few things about I am, which is the most pleasing things and satisfying things and descriptions that will fill our hearts with joy whenever we read it. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the, I'm the way, the truth, and life. And this will be the subject of resurrection. Every week we'll have one of these. St. John expressed 10. 10 of these. 10 revelations. What is Christ? He is the way, the truth, and life. He is the bread of life. He is the fountain of life. He is the light of the world. And especially Tuesday, I'm the light of the world. It was repeated a few times. Why? Because Christ was teaching. The light is the teaching of Christ. The light make us live in light and make our lives enlightened and illuminated. Christ came to enlighten everyone who comes into the world. And this is what we express every day in the first hour. Oh, the true light who came to the world, we remind ourselves that Christ is our light. His words, his life, his work, his teachings, his directions. Christ didn't leave us that we are in need of anything. And this is what St. Gregory said, you have given me everything. You didn't leave me in need of anything. In need of anything. You have given me everything. Christ was fulfilling his people. Come to me, O you travel and heavy burden. I will give you rest. I am he. Christ, the suffering, had given us a message. How to accept suffering. Because when God loves someone, he puts him in temptation. He puts him in suffering. As much as we suffer, as much as we'll be glorified. How hard was the cross? And afterwards, we'll see the other side of the cross. Resurrection. Even though sometimes we see some icons that has Christ the King on the cross, with the rope and everything. Not naked as the normal one, but we see him, the King is on the cross. And the world had taken this this scripture out of Psalm 95. He said, Christ reigned on the wood, on a wood. You won't find it in the Bible, except the Coptic translation, right? We didn't play with it, but the world played with it. It's not acceptable. He reigned on a tree, he reigned on the wood. I think the tree is the original one. And the tree is... the scripture said, the Lord will reign on a tree. Doesn't make sense. They took it out, but we kept it. The tree means, and this is the enlightenment that God gave to the people who accept him. He will explain to them. May the Lord give us some keys to open for us the enjoyment of his cross. Carrying the cross with him and waiting for his consolation and resurrection. As we say in the creed, he was crucified, buried, and then then rose from the dead. This is our belief. This is our this is our faith that we live for Him is whom God all glory forever. Amen.